Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we have two readings from Holy Scripture. If you want to take your Red Pew Bible and follow along, the first is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. And you can find that on page 1832 in your Bibles. And this is when Paul is in prison in Rome and he's writing to the people of Colossia, the Colossians. And the first part is a greeting, and now we go into his message to those people. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruits in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving to thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of all the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, where thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from all among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile him all things, whether things of the earth or things in heaven, or by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 26 to 43, and it is found on page 1641 in your Pew Bibles. And this is the crucifixion. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs who never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things with the green tree, what will happen when it is dry? Two other men, both criminals, were led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with the criminals, one at his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing.' And they divided his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.' The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was a written notice above him which read, 'This is the king of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung on there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said. 'Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Jim. Let's pray. Gracious Father, open our hearts and minds today to your word and to your will. We'd ask that you'd just make your presence known to each and every one of us throughout this day and throughout the week, throughout our whole lives, so we may come to a better understanding of forgiveness. And forgiveness you have given to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I may be moving a little slow today, but we're going to give it a whirl. So next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, and I thought it would really be wise for us to think about how this all came about. What Advent is all about. I mean, think about this. So God, in his forgiveness he wanted to give to us and his love that he wanted to show for us, allowed himself to be changed into a man. Knowing full well when he came to earth, he was going to have to endure the suffering of the cross. And when he did this, he did it because he wanted us to have the opportunity to be forgiven, to have eternal life, to have this gift of salvation. Now think about it. So when we come into the Advent season, God, it all starts out with happy and joy and the celebration of the baby that's born. But what was it all for? It was all about forgiveness, wasn't it? It was all about the power that forgiveness holds. So I found a story. I'm going to tell you a quick story. It would really be hilarious if it wasn't so sad. So think about this. Oh, there was a soldier who was over World War II during the battle in Italy. And the shells are just a-flying. And so he dives into this foxhole, trying to avoid all the shells that are going overhead. And he's digging and scratching, trying to make this foxhole deeper and deeper. And while he's doing that, he finds this crucifix. He holds on to this crucifix. Okay? Okay, so anyway, he finds it. And next thing you know, another guy jumps in this foxhole with him. And he happens to look over, and it happens to be an army chaplain. Well, he looks to the army chaplain, and he says, "Wow, well, I'm glad to see you," he says. "How do we use this thing? Hold up this cross. How do we use this thing? How do we use this gift that God has given us, this cross that he's given to us? How would we use it? What's it for? What power does it hold?" So in our scriptures today, I suspect it's going to be the real question for us today is, how do we use this thing? How do we use this cross, this salvation that Jesus has given us, this forgiveness that we've been had the opportunity to have? So in the conviction, in our crucifixion account, so it really consisted of three parts. If you think about it, it was the journey to the place of the crucifixion itself, and the story of the two crucified criminals. So I want to, for just a minute, start with Simon of Cyrene. So you think about the Simon of Cyrene. He's heading into town, if you were him. So he's a Jewish man, we know, and we know he's a family man. He had two sons. Mark tells us he has Alexander and Rufus were his two sons. And he's on his way into Jerusalem, probably to find a place to prepare a meal for the Passover, which is a special time of year when all the Jews would come. So he's on his way in. And along the way, I'm certain he's running into crowds of people. Maybe some of them are all yakking about what had happened the day before in the city when he went to Jerusalem, when they went in there. Jesus was in a temple, and he was explaining to them that one day, one of this temple, not one stone to be left on top of the other. And he prophesied about this. And you think about it, so he's in there, and they're on their way, and they're talking about this, and the people aren't believing it. And maybe some of the women that are coming along with them are the same women that Jesus speaks to here in verse 28 in the chapter we read. So I'm thinking about this. Simon, he's on his way in. He gets there. He's surrounded by this mob. All of a sudden, he gets in this mob, and then Jerusalem's a mess. And all of a sudden, comes to a standstill, and the soldiers commandeer him and say, "You, come with me. You're going to carry this Christ's cross." Now, he's looking at there, and there's these criminals. They're being led into Golgotha to be crucified. All of a sudden, he's grabbed. Does he even know who this Jesus is? But he looks at it. He looks at it. These are criminals on the way to the cross. Why would I be getting commandeered to carry one of theirs? And he tells him, "You can carry, take his cross." Would he even have recognized Jesus? I don't know. I mean, when I look through the scriptures, I find myself, there's Jesus now. Consider this, what God went through for us. He said he was flogged by Pilate. He's got a crown of thorns on his head. He's clothed in purple. But his face had been beaten multiple times by the soldiers. And he's struggling to really carry this cross. So he's bloody and beaten, heading to Golgotha, when that's about 600 meters, which is a third of a mile, maybe a little more, that he's trying to carry this cross, and I'm certain he collapses under it. Can't get there, and the soldiers are in a hurry. They want to get this day over. So they grab Simon, tell Simon, "You're going to carry his cross." So now they're on the way to the cross, and the crowd's there, and these women that probably he'd met before and talked with before, they're crying and weeping. They probably knew who this Jesus was because they had cared for him. And Jesus turns and he talks to them. And what does he say? So he says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that have never borne the breasts, that have never nursed. For they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us.'" Jesus told them to weep for themselves, not for him. Well, he knew that in about 40 years, Jerusalem would fall. The temple would be destroyed. There'd be devastation. There would be a great famine. And truly, they would think that the women that were blessed were ones that didn't have children because they didn't have mouths to feed. Their whole world's about to fall apart. And Jesus tells them this. And he says, "And you consider them blessed, those who don't have these problems of Venus and other people." And I thought about this, and I'm thinking, why is he telling this at this time? But then he goes on and he tells them a proverb. Did you catch the proverb? He tells them the problem. "For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?" What do we think that really means? So just to be certain, I started looking up different commentaries, and I got a whole bunch of different ones. But some feel it means that the innocent, they talk that it means the innocent Jesus is the green tree. And if he suffered at the hands of the Romans, what would happen to the guilty Jews? The dry tree. Or maybe it's, if God is willing to permit such a disaster as death of the innocent Jesus, how much more severe will the guilty in Jerusalem be during the disaster that's about to happen to them? But being simple-minded I am, I like the way it was written in the ERV. It said, "If this can happen to someone who is good, what will happen to those that are guilty?" So Luke alone, he mentions the women. He's the only one who mentions them in the scriptures that Jesus had these words for. On his way to the cross, bloody and beaten. And he tells them that these things are going to happen. Forgiveness. What is the value of it? Do we really know how much power is in forgiveness? You think about Jesus, he's on the cross. He's there, they nail him to the cross. He's hanging there, and all these people are out there. The rulers are out there, they're sneering at him, they're making fun of him. They're mocking him. The soldiers are putting wine vinegar into his face. And what happens? Jesus, forgive them. They know not what to do. Think about that. How could he possibly say that? What kind of strength, what kind of power would that have to be in order to say that if you were in his situation? Think about the gift that he has just given us here and the lesson he has taught us. One criminal figured it out. Because the two they hung on the cross, one on either side of him, the one looked at the other one and says, if you are the Christ, the God, the Son of God, why don't you come down and save yourself and us too? With the other criminal who's hanging. What does Scripture tell us, he says? He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, he says, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. As I thought about these words, how strong and how important they are, I got thinking about too many times when we enter in the Advent season, we don't think about why he came. And remember that he knew everything that was going to happen once he got here. We celebrate the birth, but do we celebrate in the forgiveness and his power that he's given us at the end? He taught us the greatest example is that through forgiveness of no matter what happens to you throughout your life, no matter what terrible thing happens, every time when we ask, how hard does this be? We can hold up the cross, and if we know that forgiveness and have God's forgiveness, we can forgive others, no matter what happens. Because that's power. That's where the peace comes in our hearts. That's where we have confidence knowing that no matter what happens to us here on earth, we should be thankful because we have the power of forgiveness in our hands. Celebrate Thanksgiving. So I think we need to all remember and to believe, like the criminal on the cross, be thankful for that forgiveness. Maybe to ask Jesus to remember us when he comes into his kingdom. In our scripture in Colossians, Paul wrote, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So in other words, we're to constantly praise God for all he has done, right? All times of the year. And Paul said in all circumstances at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And he also said, always giving thanks to God for the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote that to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Thanksgiving's going to be here. What are we going to do? What are we going to thank God for? The greatest gift possible, forgiveness. that it holds. So next time you're down and you're out or you're in a foxhole, it seems like the shells are flying over your head. When you hold up that cross, you say, I know what this is for. This is so I can be forgiven, so I can have life. Jesus came to be the light of the world. Let's shine it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you how you have given us forgiveness and its power to forgive others. Help us this coming week as we gather together with family and friends for Thanksgiving to know the peace that forgiveness brings and the life that it brings. For we know just as you died so that we might be forgiven, we will also be raised to life and given life just as you provided. We ask these things in Jesus' name.